Welcome to Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen, and this is Tuesday, and that is the 9th of April, and we are rapidly moving toward tax day. Does anybody care about tax day? Nah, of course not, because there's a much better thing happening on the 15th. Forget taxes. Pay the government. Forget it all. Give them extra. Because on the 15th, you're going to get the greatest lesson in the history of American political activity, in the history of American governance. That's on the 15th when the trial begins. And I can tell you, everybody, well, not everybody, but everybody that has any sense is just clamoring for the 15th, because what's going to happen in that courtroom in Manhattan, first, let's not say unprecedented because everybody says the word, but it is unprecedented. Never happened before. Never in the history of the United States has a president of the United States, a former president, been brought to a criminal trial with his freedom on the line. I mean, we all understand that Richard Nixon was close, but he had the sense to get the heck out of Dodge City. What the heck did he want to play with a criminal trial when tapes were there? The evidence was clear. Even Richard Nixon knew better than to play with this fire. And then here we are, all these years later, 50 years later, and Donald Trump can't wait to light the match, to play with the fire. Now, at the same time, I think we can pretty much draw an inference here that the man is scared totally. I've talked about him hanging around at home in the fetal position under a desk. But to tell you the truth, I think we're pretty close to that. I know that the psychologist from the John Hopkins Medical Center. Yeah, I always lose it on John Hopkins, but John Hopkins Medical Center. The psychologist John Gartner there for 28 years says that as far as he can tell, watching Trump day after day, that this is a guy ready to go over the cliff. I believe it. I don't just want it, I believe it. And when I say I want it, and I do, I want him to go completely over the cliff, because only then will he stop. Now, once he's gone, once he's gone down the cliff, then I have compassion. Once they've got him in a straitjacket, once he's prepared to leave us alone, I'll have complete compassion. Put him out on parole. That's fine. No problem whatsoever. I don't need this guy to die in jail. I'm not looking for retribution. I just want him to leave us alone. We're going to have to deal with this anyway when he's gone. You know we will. I mean, there are people out here who still believe something. I have no idea what it is they believe, because it's not about taxes. They say it is. It's not about cutting federal spending. They say it is. It's certainly not about women's rights, because I can tell you right now, the Republican Party and Donald Trump are running so fast from the problems that they created with Roe v. Wade. They don't even want to know about it. They don't even want to acknowledge that it ever existed. And trust me, I'm not here to tell you the same thing that no one will tell you. No one wants abortions. If you think I wake up in the morning and say, gee, I hope some people get abortions. Of course not. I hope nobody gets an abortion. I hope that the United States medical system begins to address women's health care problems. That's what's important. That's what the issue is. Nobody wants an abortion. Everybody wants medical care for women, for your sisters, for your mothers, for your daughters. That's who. And of course, you know that the latest out of the Republican Party, only mimicking Donald Trump, is that Democrats don't just want abortions, which they don't. But what they really want is they want to kill the children after they're born. Now, I know you're going to say, Kasin, you know that's not true, but I know it is because I heard Trump say it. It wasn't a doctored tape. It was straight out of his mouth. He is claiming that Democrats want their children killed after they're born. It's just insanity. And the only sad part is that there are people on the Republican side who honestly believe it. I can assure you, if you did a poll, you would find an enormous number of people, millions, who believe that Democrats want to execute their children after they're born. This is what we've come to. This is what this whole thing is about. It's lunacy. It's as fake as anything that Donald ever claimed was fake. I mean, he kept claiming everything was fake, and it was him, or it was he, who was fake. Donald was fake. Now, in 2024, the story has just become ridiculous. It's sort of as dumb as when they were saying that Hillary was running some kind of a trafficking operation for little kids outside of a pizza store. I mean, that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with craziness. None of this is true. Now, I could sit here and say none of it's true for another 45 minutes, 50 minutes, whatever. And you know what? There are people who still believe that Hillary was running a trafficking operation out of a pizza store and that Democrats want to execute their children when they're born. I mean, I can't even say it without chuckling because it's so ridiculous. By the way, you can call here. The phone number is 314-471-1968. That's 314-471-1968. And if you'd like to talk to me about any of this, I'd love to. Now, that's fine. Just give me a call and we can talk about any of these bizarre things that I brought up or anything you would like to bring up. You want to talk about the sniffing tapes? I hope you know that there is no sniffing. I hope you know that the people who talk about sniffing, as nice as they may be in their normal lives, they are completely delusional when it comes to this sniffing business. There's no sniffing. Honestly, there is not. None. 314-471-1968 if you think they're sniffing. But there's none. But what there is one heck of a trial that's coming on the 15th of April. And it will begin with voir dire, which is the description of basically seeing what the witnesses have to say. That's the French meaning of it. Voir is to see and dire is to say. So that's it. To see what they say and decide who is appropriate to be on that jury. And I can promise you, although Donald claims that he can't get a fair trial because there's no one who will be on the jury who won't be against him, the truth is you could find 12 people who could be on that jury and who could listen to the facts, be against Donald Trump, and still make the decision based on the facts. I promise you, I could do it. Now, I can also promise you that there are a few people as certain as I am how crooked Donald really is. I mean, there's some. There are millions, but certainly not 40 or 50%. There are many people out here who just think that Donald would not be a good president. Others who think he's just a crude person who does not belong in any position of leadership. I mean, there are all different ways of viewing this. Now, I happen to believe that he is one of the most corrupt people in the history of our country, not just running for president, but just totally corrupt. All the way from his refusal to allow black people to live in his apartments in New York City 50 years ago with his father, all the way through all the different items that we're aware of, including fraud and double fraud and quadruple fraud, because I'm talking about the casinos and I'm talking about the Trump University and I'm talking about the ties and the stakes and the Trump water. I mean, he sold everything. And now he's selling the Bible. Truly, truly selling the Bible. Now, I realize there are people out here, I guess, who actually buy a Trump Bible. And maybe even I'm foolish. Maybe I should be buying a Trump Bible, because it's possible that if you put that thing away in mint condition, it might be worth a lot of money in 50 years. Somebody else will have to get their hands on it because I won't be here in 50. But it might be a good investment. I don't know. But as far as the sense of buying a Trump Bible and taking it to the church, well, I've been told by my very religious friends that is just flat out blasphemy. That's what they say. Whether they're for him or not, they think that's blasphemy. He's selling the Bible in order to pay for his legal fees. That's a problem. That is just not good. And it's not like you can stop it, but you certainly should not be encouraging it. That's one side of this. The other side is that if you believe that you're actually enhancing your religious experience by reading a Trump Bible, I feel sorry for you. I really do. I fear that there are people who believe that. I'm sure that's true. But what's more important is the real meaning of April 15th for all of us. And it comes in a number of different pieces. First of all, for me, April 15th is just incredible for my students, because there's no one who can benefit more from what's happening on the 15th than young people who want to learn about the American system of governance and our legal system. I mean, this is the best. There is none better. Well, maybe the election in November. That's going to be incredible. I know what we're doing in our classrooms. We're putting up maps that you can draw on, and we'll be looking at electoral possibilities. We'll be considering various polls in the different states. We'll be looking at the different issues in states and how they seem to be affecting the polling. And all of this with young people who really would never have put the time into an election the way they're going to this time. This is going to be the best of the best. And undoubtedly, by the time we get back to school, by the time everybody's back in school in the fall, think about it. This trial in Manhattan will be ended, and the opportunity for us to look through the results of that legal proceeding, which I can assure you will lead to both a conviction and a sentencing to jail, both. And that's before school starts next August. What a fabulous learning opportunity that is in the United States of America. This guy is going down, and our students, our young people, high school, college, all of them are going to have an opportunity to study this upside down and backwards in a way that people would never have done without Donald Trump. Now, you can be assured that I would rather do without the learning experience, just from the standpoint of maintaining our democracy. But I will say that while many of my friends and family insist that Donald could win, I'm going to say again, as I've said every single time, not a chance. And then I have one of my brothers, maybe both of them are now saying it, that back in 16, I said he couldn't win. I never said that. I said I didn't think he would win. I never thought that Hillary was going to lose. I certainly thought that Donald would lose. But did I think it was impossible? No, I did not. And I'll tell you why. And this only makes sense. Back then, people weren't aware of what everyone should have known about Donald Trump. Sure, he came off that elevator screaming about Mexicans being rapists. He wanted to block Muslims. He wanted to do a lot of horrible things. But it was just Donald mouthing off. And people didn't realize that this was a major big-time criminal. They didn't know that. Today, we know it. We knew it in 20, and we've known it in every election of every person at lower levels since this time has gone forward. And believe me, that is exactly why Republicans are losing every election everywhere, even in red states. Think about it. Look what happened just recently in Alabama. How does a low-level legislator win a race by a substantial margin in the Democratic Party in Alabama? It's almost impossible. How could you win a ballot election for an initiative? How could you win one of those initiatives in Kansas or in Ohio? How could that happen? And there's only one way it can happen. Donald J. Trump, he's done it. He has created the biggest winning streak for the Democratic Party since Democrats started winning among black people in the 1960s. It's just incredible what Trump has done to depress the Republican Party. And they still follow him because they still have this vision, many of them, that they could go to the White House and they could sit right next to the seat of power and actually be in charge of something. That's how people are. They want that opportunity. They think it could be something that could happen for them that they may have never imagined in a lifetime. Of course, unfortunately, the opportunity comes as a result of the greatest criminality that this country has faced in all of our lifetimes. And that's true. In fact, when Donald says that crime is at the highest level since as far back as we can remember, it is exactly what some have said about it, and that is, it's a confession. It's not that this country has crime. It's that, as far as he's concerned, as far as Donald Trump is concerned, he sees nothing but crime around him because he commits the crime, and then he admits to it. It is his confession that he is involved in criminal activities that are beyond the pale, far beyond. Now, if you look at the actual crime numbers in our country, they just keep going down. They just keep going down. I had a friend on Facebook the last couple of days. She's pretty involved politically in town and very conservative. And she was the girlfriend of a friend of mine many years ago. And she was putting all that information out about how much crime there is. And I just wrote to her and said, none of it is true. It's just not true. It's not even close. And she's been writing back to me for days now, trying to convince me that I need to do my research. But the problem is that the research is so simple. Go online, look for government statistics, and you will find that our crime levels just keep dropping. At the same time, 77% of the people who were polled recently by Gallup said exactly the opposite. That as far as they're concerned, crime is surging. And yet it's the opposite. It's just going down. Consistently down. And I'll tell you why. And anybody with a political science major at a university will be able to tell you the same thing. Crime drops when a population becomes older and older. And when a population becomes younger, crime statistics go up. And that is probably what drives crime more than any other factor that you can imagine or that you could consider. It's the age of the population. How many old people do you know who are leaving their house at 1, 2, and 3 o'clock in the morning to bust into their neighbor's place? I assure you, it's not happening. First of all, why would they? They know they're going to be caught. They don't want to be caught. They don't want to be in trouble. Oh, they can get some money, and they could even falsify maybe some documents. They could sign their name on a piece of paper that would not be true. That's another story. I could imagine that happening. But I assure you that actual crime, people out in the streets hijacking cars and abducting people and going into stores and stealing and running, smashing all the counters, those are kids. Kids do that. Those aren't grown-ups. Those aren't the elderly. You don't find people on Medicare and Social Security going into stores with guns and demanding money. You don't find them in banks telling everybody to just calm down and turn it over. No, they don't do that. That's not the elderly. That's younger people. And a society that is loaded with young people is a place where these crimes will take place. There's no doubt about it. They'll do that. But as far as real crime, dangerous crime, violent crime, crime with guns, old people don't do that. They really don't. So that's the number. And all you have to do is look at the statistics. Our society is aging. Anybody could have told you that our society would be aging. In fact, we knew it when I was a kid. When I was 17 years old, in my first year at UCLA, we all knew that the baby boomers were going to get old. We were going to get old, and we were going to act like old people. Certainly when it comes to crime. Because I don't care who you are. You get old enough, you are not going to run down the street away from the cops. You're not going to bust into somebody's car. You're just not going to do it. It doesn't happen. Young people commit those crimes, not older people. And we all know it, and the statistics are so clear. And yet 77% of the people in the United States believe that crime is surging. I can tell you can read it in the newspaper almost any day, certainly in the Post-Dispatch. Crime is on the rise, except for it's not. It's just not. You get old people, they're not going to commit any crimes, except for the one man who is absolutely confessing to his crimes every single day, and that's Donald Trump, and we'll talk about him in about 3 or 4 minutes. And his crimes. By the way, just a reminder, you can call me at 314-471-1968 and you'll be right on the air. We can talk about anything that you'd like to talk about that we've discussed so far or any of the different conversational pieces that I have coming up. And I have a few different subjects. Do they all have to do with Trump? Yeah, probably one way or the other. We'll talk about why that's true, too. Why is everybody focused on Trump? Why is everything Trump? There's a reason. Okay. But there's definitely a reason why you want to get to Chesterfield Valley and get something to eat at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road. And the reason is because Wendy's has great food. Wendy's is just a fabulous place to eat. Wendy's has got chicken wings. They've got smoked meat. They've got baby back ribs. They've got onion rings. They've got hamburgers, cheeseburgers, patty melts. You name it. Just a great place to eat. And if you don't like the pizza, there's something wrong with you. The pizza's great too. It's all great at Wendy's at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road. And again, I emphasize the fact that when you get there, you should say hello to Ben, who is an owner. And Ben will talk to you, hang around with you, tell you all kinds of good things and interesting things. And you're going to enjoy your time at Wendy's. You don't have to bring a friend. Ben can be your friend. 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road, and that is Wendy's. Now, you can also have a friend. I got another friend for you, and that's Al, and he's at 4506 Hampton in St. Louis, and the name of his business is Jules on Hampton. And Al will be your friend, too. You can go in there and play with jewelry all day long, and Al will be your friend. Because these businesses that have the owners present are just great places to do business. Al's great, his son AJ as well. Check them out, 4506 Hampton. They buy and sell jewels and coins, great prices. But on top of that, if you've got a watch, a good one with some age on it, and you want it fixed, Al will fix it for you at Jewels on Hampton. Just a great jewelry store. No kidding. You think it's just a jewelry store, but no, it's also a place where you can get a friend. I mean, it's just like I'm telling you. I'm not just setting you up for doing business. I'm sending you to places where, you know, maybe you're sort of not very outgoing. Well, don't worry about it, because here you can find a friend just as you can at Wendy's. And next, I can tell you right now, not only will you find a friend, Jay and Nick over at the St. Louis Suit Company, but on top of being your friends, they'll also dress you. I mean, talk about a friend. These people will tell you what to wear. They'll match your clothes for you so that even if you're colorblind, you don't have to worry about offending people. And it's just a great place to buy suits and ties and shirts and shoes, although they don't have my Chuck Taylor Converse. But listen, they can't have everything. But they've got practically everything that you could want. And I've got my Converse. But anyway, that's a St. Louis Suit Company, corner of Central and Forsyth in Clayton. And if you're either getting married or you need to get clothes for a wedding, they are big on weddings. They're the St. Louis Suit Company, and they are in Clayton, Forsyth and Central. And the friends that you can find there are Jay and Nick. So I'm really good to you. I not only will send you to good businesses, but I'll send you somewhere where you can find a friend. It's pretty nice of me. Okay. So, back on Donald. Why is everything Donald? I have students who say to me, isn't there something else that's going on in the world besides Donald? And honestly, the answer is no. Because this man has so infused himself into our culture that it's impossible to really separate so much of what we do from what he is threatening us with. For example, banning books in libraries. When in American history did we have to worry about books being banned in libraries? Until Donald Trump. And if you think that there's any reason that these books are being banned besides Trump, well, I just think you're wrong, and I think you're going to have to look into it to find out the truth, which is that Donald is behind all of this. I'm not saying that he goes from library to library banning books. I'm saying that he encourages his people with this craziness, this belief that somehow you can control people's thoughts. You can eliminate newspapers. You can shut down television stations. You can control the people who write for society. It's an old idea that really comes from the Soviet Union. And we shouldn't be surprised at that, because as I've pointed out so many times, all you have to do is read the Mueller report and you'll understand the connection between Donald and Russia. And they do ban books in Russia and have for generations. It's a staple of their society. They ban books. And now we have people in the United States who would like to do as Russia has done and ban books. Here in Missouri, we've seen it. Certainly in Wentzville, they're banning books today. They want to shut down anything that they can imagine in your library. First in theirs and then in yours. And they've gotten to the state legislator. The state legislature has been debating this. How can they most effectively ban books from libraries? In fact, they've looked at the possibility of how they can shut down libraries. My source, the Post-Dispatch. Look, this is a dangerous world that we're in. Extremely dangerous. Not because of the deep state. There is no deep state. Not because the newspapers are printing fake news, because they don't. They print the news, they use sources, they generally follow the procedures that are anticipated as being professional in journalism. And that continues from decade through decade. When I tell you that the New York Times is an amazing cultural value in our society, I'm just not using words here. I'm speaking about the heart of American culture. The New York Times has been there since 1851. Year in and year out, the New York Times has told the stories of our country. And I promise you that if you go to Times Machine at nytimes.com, I'll say it again, Times Machine at nytimes.com. Now, you have to have a subscription, but I'll tell you this right now, you can get a one-year subscription to the New York Times for $50. Did you hear me? For $50. I don't pay $50. I pay $60 a month. But there's a deal today that you can get where you can own a subscription to the New York Times for $50 for the entire year. And it won't last forever, but it's out there right now. And I can also tell you that all you have to do is be a friend of mine, and I could give you a free subscription because I, like others, everybody, we all do, if we've got the times, they give us the opportunity to gift a couple of subscriptions to friends. So that's something you can do also. My friends generally subscribe to the New York Times, so I don't have to give it to them, but I'm just telling you that it's something that's available. And believe me, there is nothing more interesting and fun, I promise you, than spending time with old issues of the New York Times. If you watch television and you think that there are good programs on TV, I'm not telling you to throw out your television. I'm not telling you to give up on it. But I am saying that you will find as much entertainment as you can anywhere by digging into those old issues of the New York Times. I mean, I hate to tell you, I was doing it when I was 13, 14, and 15 years old. When you didn't have this access to it, you had to go to a library and you had to sit in front of a microfilm machine. And even then, unbelievably enjoyable. And then, of course, I went to school and used it in the research that I eventually did in my schoolwork. And for anybody who thinks that that's some indication of some kind of lunacy, which it might be, it could be. But anyway, here's the thing. When I finished it all, I hopped on the bus and met my friends at the beach. So it wasn't like, you know, read the New York Times or have fun. It was read the New York Times and have fun. It's just kind of interesting. Interesting to see what the world was like 50, 100, and 150 years ago. It is interesting. And I've introduced many students to this, and they have enjoyed it. I'm telling you, it is really interesting. And you know, here we are today where people look at what's happening, for example, in Ukraine. And there's discussion about how this might or might not be like the 1930s. Well, I promise you, you can go straight to Times Machine at nytimes.com and you can read all about what was happening in the 1930s. And you don't have to read somebody's opinion. You can read exactly what the people were saying, in the same form that you can read it today in the newspaper. And I promise you, you will not find it boring. I guarantee it. You may think so ahead of time. Once you dig into that newspaper, you'll like it. The ads, the sports, all of it. It is an unbelievable historic record of how this country has grown up. And when I say that every single day that you pick up the New York Times and it shows up at your house, the actual copy, I mean, I have online as well, I understand. You know, it's, I read it online too. But still, there's nothing like a copy of that paper. And you get that paper in your hand and you look through it and you will find everything you can ever imagine. Not just politics, not just government, fashion, shopping, advertisements, sports, art, book reviews. You name it. It's all there in the New York Times. Now, just in case you think I'm saying this because, you know, the New York Times is paying me, which they're not, let me assure you that there's another way to do this. And that's the Wall Street Journal. But right now, let's get this phone. And if you can, if you got it. Okay, so Les, can you hear?
Yeah, I can hear.
Oh, well, perfect. You're on the air. It's perfect. It works.
Okay.
And by the way, if you're out there and you want to call, you can still call with Les on the phone because I can get any. I can get more people on. But go ahead, Les. What?
Did you read what I said on your Facebook feed?
No, I did not.
No. Take a look at it.
Okay, so let's see. You wrote, let's see. Let's see if I can get it up here. Well, I'll find it. Hang on. That's not there. Hang on. Joe's in the other room laughing at me.
Yeah, he ought to be.
Well, he is. I don't know. Okay, I can't find it. So why don't you just tell? Wait. I think I got it. I've got it. Hey, okay. I've got it. And I first of all, I apologize to Michael because he's been writing me all this time and I didn't see it, any of it.
Right. Right.
Oh, and listen to this. Here comes another one. So hang on. Oh, this is Michael. Okay. Hang on a second. Let me figure out how to do this, Les. Hang on. Okay. Hang on.
I could say, but I won't.
Yeah. Okay. Merge with Les. Here we go. There. Okay. Merge. Here we go. You think I don't know things. Okay, yeah, Michael.
Sir. Yes.
How are you?
Michael.
Good.
Yeah, so you're on with my little brother.
Right, little brother.
Yeah, I heard him call in, so I figured I'd join the
Well, family. I'm glad you did.
That's your little nephew, so.
Well, yeah. he was. And in fact, I'll tell you this, Michael, this is hysterical.
Little cousin. Whatever.
Yeah, cousin.
Correct.
Yeah, correct you. You know, I actually have a grandkid. His name is Ari, A-R-I. And he looks like you, and on the top of his head, he's got some wheat.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. Anyway, so here, what are we going to start with? You want to tell me what your complaint is, Les?
Did you read what I said?
Well, I haven't read it yet.
Okay.
It can't make much sense.
Future, right. Okay. There you go. In the future, leave it all up there so you can see it easily.
Explain the deep state. Deep state.
Go on. What they say is the deep state.
You want to tell them, Michael?
Well, I just think it's all... You know, they think there's a whole group controlling everything, right? And it's just crazy.
Yeah. So first of all, they believe that all of the civil servants who work for the agencies all over the United States are part of a generalized conspiracy to destroy Donald Trump. And that's the deep state. And let me assure you of one other thing.
Yeah.
Whoever's in charge of it, you know it's a Jew, right?
Right. But they also talked about the deep state before Trump was even president.
I never heard it, but
okay. You're right about what you're saying about, you know, they say the deep state is out to get Trump, but of course the most people are, except for people that are Trumpers. But, you know, the point is that, I mean, what are they saying what is the deep state trying to do other than, you know, trying to get rid of Trump?
It's trying to control.
It's not all about Trump. Yes. What?
Trying to control our lives, trying to steal our money through excessive taxes, you know, all the usual stupidity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the truth is that these people are just going to work every day and doing a job. If they work for the FCC, they're monitoring maybe radio stations to be sure that everything's working properly.
Or the FDA.
Yeah, to make sure that the drugs that we are using are safe. Of course. Or the meat. The meat, to be sure that the meat that we eat is safe. I mean, I don't know how many people these days have read The Jungle, but I can assure you Michael's read it. Have you read it, Leslie?
No.
Yeah, but didn't think so.
You could have assured that.
That's because you need to go to college. But
no, that's because I maybe have needed to read that.
Yeah, well, you should.
Yeah, they've taken normal oversight and turned everything into a conspiracy.
Exactly.
Right? It's just ridiculous. Right. I mean, they've got such a polished message of lies, and no one ever calls them out on it.
Well, I think a lot of people do call them out on it. It's just that they don't listen to it.
Yeah, I think that there are people out here who are pushing back on it. In fact, there are people out here writing books that push back on it. But then again, if you're in a country where people don't read books, that could be a problem.
Well, it's not and the people hearing their message don't listen to those or watch those channels or read those books anyway. Yeah. So they never get the pushback.
When you say about reading books, there's plenty of people that read books, but just read the books that, you know, maybe you or I don't believe has any validity to them. They read, they just, you know, and the books you're talking about, they'll read it and say it's all fake. You know, that's true. It's not just that they're not reading a book. They just don't believe what they're reading unless it goes along with their agenda.
Well, let me say this to you, Les. As far as fake is concerned, one of my favorite books, it's actually two volumes.
Did you say steak?
Fake.
Oh, fake.
Yeah, get by the way, tomorrow I'll have a new sponsor that will help you get the wax out of your ears.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, I really love The Memoirs of Cordell Hull.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who that is?
Go on. Who is he?
Well, he's a former Secretary of State, and I can assure you that it is interesting to me because the things that he put into place initially under Roosevelt, which continued into Harry Truman and then beyond that as well, because of the whole way our government is set up, it has changed our country in ways that are just, first of all, hard to imagine, and secondly, so valuable that, I mean, people just don't even know where so much of what we've done has come from. But all the way down to what's happening in Ukraine today comes from these people who worked directly for Franklin Roosevelt, as opposed to the people who work for Donald Trump, who they have ended up, instead of in libraries, they've ended up in jails. I mean, it's a fact. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, well, he certainly doesn't surround himself with the best of the best.
I would say not. I mean, poor Peter Navarro is sitting behind bars right now, begging for somebody to let him out, and they will in 4 months when his sentence is completed, and maybe he could just hang around there a while. And he can go visit Donald, because Donald could be on his way in when he's on the way out. And by the way, you know, there's a brand new poll out today from Marquette University. And Marquette University in Milwaukee is certainly one of the top research institutions in the country. And, I mean, they're a Jesuit Catholic university. They're really excellent. And that poll shows that Joe Biden is now up by 4 points. 52-48, and it's a, like an 8-point swing in Biden's direction. And the story that I read that, that talked about this pointed out that, that poll after poll, it's all headed in this same direction. I mean, I'm not surprised.
Oh, if it continues.
Well, I'm sure it will. Because first of all, women are not going to put up with this nonsense for a minute. Not for a minute. And you don't even have to say the word abortion. You could never say it again, and we really shouldn't ever say it again. All we have to do is talk about women's health care, because women's health care is so essential in our country, and we're so far behind the rest of the world. And black women especially are punished for being black in America 3-1 when it comes to mortality for mothers and their children when they're born. It is just horrible. It is a crime. We could deal.
Mark, but they want to tie it to abortion. That's what they want to and will do.
Well, I'll tell you something. It doesn't matter, because it's causing women to go in that direction anyway. By 60-35, women are in favor of Joe Biden. This is not within the margin of error. This is a 25-point lead for women on the Trump side.
Did you see what happened in Arizona today?
No, tell me.
So the state Supreme Court upheld a abortion ban law that goes back to before we were even a state.
Yeah.
Yeah. With no exceptions.
Yeah.
Zero exceptions. I mean, it's, yeah, crazy.
So there you go.
Well, no, that, look, but the other side of that coin, as Michael will tell you, is that they're going to be voting in Arizona, aren't they, Michael?
Yes, yes, they have enough signatures to get it on the ballot.
Yeah.
To basically go back to like a Roe v. Wade level. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I don't have to tell you that this isn't just a question of Arizona. They did it in Kansas. They did it in Ohio. They're fearful here in Missouri, because they know what women are going to do. Women are not going to allow themselves to be exposed to the situation where they go to a hospital with a miscarriage and the doctor refuses to give them medical care because of the fear that somebody will accuse them of performing an abortion. That's what's going on out here. Go ahead.
If you did a poll, if you polled Republican women on this question that we're talking about, this what we're talking about here, what do you think would be the percentages?
Well, I don't really know, because I can't guess. Well, sure, if you just go to the religious right, then you'll know. But what I'm saying is it's 60-35. No, you got to count all the women, Leslie, because the women with a brain don't go to jail.
No, I understand you got to count all the women, but you're discounting all of the women that are on the right and Republican.
They're all being polled. And listen, I'm not talking about abortion, Leslie. I'm talking about Donald Trump. By 60-35, the women are saying they support Joe Biden. It's that simple. That's the number. That is the number.
Sounds a little high, but I mean, I think it could be, you're saying 60-40?
60-35.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Les, relax. You're going to be fine. Maybe if you cut that mess off your face. And Michael, it's been great hearing from you.
Yes, Michael.
Yep. Yeah. You guys be good. This is Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen. Good night.